Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Man, that's worth coming for right there. I'm glad this truth is marching on, aren't you? And I'm looking forward to preaching on I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life later. And today, we continue our series of messages on the I Am of Christ, the I Ams of Christ. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am excited and have been excited about our Global Vision ministry, and I appreciate the James leading that and Brother Wiggins. And I just, one of our goals was to get to the 100 foreign missionaries, and one of the reasons why we're not going to stop there per se, but we really are going to try to stay within that 100 foreign missionaries. Now later we may raise, as the Lord gives us more commitments and more money, we may raise their amount we give to them, but we really would like to become a little more personal with these 100 foreign missionaries. And we have enough families in the church who could be rope holders and take that into account and pray for that missionary, pray for their missionary. We pray for the missionaries of the week, the two missionaries every week, and then you would develop a relationship with your missionary, your foreign missionary, and sending emails and talking to them and so forth. A lot of them even have the ability to text them for free and just be in communication with them. There's a lot of missionaries on the field. We hear it all the time from missionaries who say, we don't ever get contacted. Nobody ever says anything to us. No, never, you know. So for us to send a birthday card when the kids are having a birthday and those type of things. And so we just want to be a blessing to them. And then when they're here in the States, when they come to report, then when we've been having the meal for them over in the gym, in the foyer. And so you would stay and help with that meal along with the director. And it's just a good way to get to know the missionaries personally. And so not just the pastor taking them to a meal and me getting to know them more. I'll come to the foyer and over in the lobby and eat with you as well. And I want to get to know them more, but you get to know them more. And I just like the whole idea of it. And also praying for all the nations of the earth. We need to spread the gospel to the entire world. And there are nations who are closed that we can't get missionaries into, but we could pray for them. So Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Look at John chapter 8. Again, the emphasis this morning is, again, missions, spreading the gospel, spreading the light. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am, I am. That's our theme the next few more weeks. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the morning we've already experienced, the music, and that blessed our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would just enable us to concentrate the next few minutes, to keep our minds focused and our hearts open to what you would have us to do. And God, may we again see this wonderful light, and may we be a light. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The I Ams of Christ. I have the I Ams on my mind totally. The I Ams of Christ. There are 10 recorded when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, or I am the resurrection of life. There are 10 recorded in the New Testament. He is the eternal I am. He said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We studied last week there in John about him being the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the resurrection of life. He said, I am the first and the last. He said, I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. And there's a few others. I am. This was first mentioned when God revealed himself to the nation of Israel there in Egypt. And I want you to get familiar with this passage in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And so here Moses was being called of God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, What shall I tell the children of Israel? Who is it that's coming to rescue them? And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Again, the eternal I am, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am that I am. In John chapter 8, I do want you to turn there. We're right there anyway. Look at John chapter 8. Look at the end of the chapter. John chapter 8, look at with me in verse 51. You should be right there anyway. I want you to see this. I didn't share this with you last week, but here's where Jesus definitely, absolutely identifies himself as the I am. Look with me in let's start in verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. If that's not underlined in your Bible, it ought to be. What a very important passage. He said, Abraham saw my day. Understand that Abraham was preached the gospel. Galatians chapter 3 tells us. Abraham understood the Messiah was to come. There would be a Messiah. And so he saw his day. And then that's not my point of my message. So look at verse 57. And he said unto the Jews, and then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen to this, before Abraham was, what? Say it. I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Why did they take up stones to cast at him? Because of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I am is the name of God. And as Jesus was identifying himself as the I am, that would be blasphemy according to the Jew, and therefore he would need to be stoned. He would need to be killed. And they took up stones, but Jesus hid himself. So Jesus Christ himself, here in the latter part of John chapter 8, is saying, I am. I am the one from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I am the one. He also speaks about him being the one who spoke out of the bush and the burning bush. I am, again, used by Christ. God revealed himself and revealed himself by way of a new name. God wants us to know him. And God gave this name to the children of Israel, the I am. I am the singular one. There are no other gods, the self-sufficient one. He is the supply. And I told you last week that when he says he's the supply, when he says I am, it doesn't mean he has to go get the stuff. It means that he is the fountain flowing with water. He is the life giver. He doesn't have to go buy the resources. He doesn't have to go find the resources. He is the supplier. I am. I am. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I'm going to be. He is I am. I am the ever-present one. I am outside of time. There is no time with God. And that's so hard for our finite minds to understand that with God, there is no time. He sees past, present, and future, and present all at the same time. The great I am. Last week, we studied John chapter 11, where Jesus said there to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he is our resurrection. He gives life. He gives life. He takes us who were born and dead and trespasses and sins, and he gives us life. Not only does he give us spiritual life, but he gives us new life. I'm thankful when I got saved that I was to walk in newness of life. He didn't just to come to give us life, but give us life more abundant. And then also eternal life. In other words, one day we will bodily be resurrected. He's our resurrection when it comes to new life. He's our resurrection when it comes to salvation. But he's our resurrection one day when he returns for his own. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up, raptured up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that resurrection day. I'm looking forward to my bodily resurrection. Maybe I'll still be alive when he returns. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are in the grave, who are saved, will rise from the dead first, and then I'm out of here. And I'll receive a new body. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in a moment of twinkling of an eye at the last trump, I'll receive that new body. What a day that'll be. The resurrection. I am the resurrection, the life. And here we see him use the analogy, I am the light of the world. What did he mean by this? What did he mean by this analogy? And so I do want to back up, and we have preached this before, especially on our candlelight service, but man, it's so good. I just don't want to pass it up on a Sunday morning, and I'm going to have to kind of hurry through it, but there's so much here. We think about the light. I am the light. We think about the light of Christ appearing in the Old Testament. The Old Testament appearances of light. Christ as the light, literally, physically the light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, you know the passage. God said, let there be light. Let there be light. By the way, that light there found in Genesis chapter 3, the word light in the Hebrew is luminosity. Whereas in Genesis chapter 3, or Genesis chapter 1, verses like 9, 10, 11, 12, when the sun's created, the word for sun in Hebrew is a luminary or luminary. In other words, a light-giving body. The word, and I know, just stay with me, the word luminous is the one found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. When God said, let there be light, that word for light and the light of the sun on the fourth day that was created, those two Hebrew words are different. The first one is luminous. The second one is luminary, a light-giving body. So what was the first one? If the sun was created on the fourth day, then what was the light that appeared on the first day, when God said, let there be light? I believe, biblically, that we can see, maybe not exactly dogmatically, but we see that Jesus Christ was that light. That it was light, that it was Christ in an Old Testament appearance. That literally when God created all things, he stepped out onto nothing. That it was Jesus Christ who was used by the Godhead as the primary agent of creation. How do we know that? Well, the New Testament tells us that it was Jesus who created all things. John chapter 1, we quoted these verses last week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And what? All things were created by him. Who? The Word, capital W-O-R-D. Speaking of Jesus Christ, all things were made by Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, the worlds were made by him, and the world knew him not. The world's made by who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the primary agent of the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was God the Son who stepped out onto nothing and said, let there be light. And I believe that he was that luminary body, that he was that luminescence. He was that light-giving body there in the first 3 days, that it was Jesus Christ in a theophany, Jesus Christ in an Old Testament appearance, who provided the light for 3 days until the sun was created on the fourth day. Jesus literally, physically, was the light of the world. And there is so much you could turn and you say, well, how can that be? How can that be Jesus Christ? Well, again, the New Testament tells us in John 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2. I mean, there's so many verses in the New Testament that refer to Jesus Christ as being the primary agent of creation, that he was the one who spoke the world into existence. One of the great Psalms is found in Psalm 34. You can look this up later, but Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, listen to this, by the breath of his mouth. Does a spirit have breath? Does a spirit have breath? I'm just asking the question. You can answer it later. You can think upon it, ponder it. I believe Jesus Christ stepped out on nothing. And by his very words, literally, if you'd have been there, you would have heard a voice. Let there be light. It would have been there. The literal voice would have been there. And he would have spoke by the breath of his mouth. Jesus Christ. In Old Testament, he gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Jesus Christ is the light. The light appeared. So we see Christ as the light appearing on day one of creation. And then we see the light continued. The light continued. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the light that appears in many different occasions. Number one, we think about the burning bush there on Mount Sinai. As Moses went to see this, he said he heard about this mountain of God, and he wanted to go see what it was about. And he went to the mountain of God, and there God spoke to him out of the burning bush. By the way, Jesus in the New Testament says that he was the one speaking out of that bush. Jesus Christ said that. He was the one speaking out of the burning bush. So here we have a light, a bush that's burning but not burning, right? It didn't burn the bush. There was a light there. So the light continued. The light on the first day of creation, the light in the burning bush. We think about Jesus Christ again, the light appearing as the children of Israel came out of Egypt. A light by night, the fire by night, this light that appeared and led the children of Israel out of the wilderness. When the tabernacle was built, when the tabernacle was completed, the light, the glory of God came down upon the tabernacle, and it dwelt there in the Holy of Holies on top of the mercy seat between the two cherubims. The two cherubims whose wings faced each other, the light, the Shekinah glory, dwelt between the two cherubims in the Holy of Holies. So get the idea here. Genesis chapter 1, we have creation. Here it is, Jesus Christ appearing as light. The glory of the God. And then we have the burning bush. And then we have the tabernacle, the glory of God coming down and dwelling between the cherubs. And the Bible says that when Solomon built the temple, that the glory of God came down and there dwelt. It says the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. The glory of the Lord came and dwelt in that Holy of Holies, the light of the glory of God. This light. The light continued throughout the Old Testament. And there's some other references to this in the Old Testament. And then thirdly, the light departed. As the children of Israel became more pagan and wicked. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 8, this was actually part of my daily Bible reading just a couple weeks ago. As I read through this again, as God brought Ezekiel to the temple and he opened up basically the curtain and through the wall and allowed Ezekiel to see into the temple what was going on behind closed doors. And what he saw behind closed doors was the priests themselves and the leaders of the city worshiping creeping things, worshiping idols. In the temple, they were worshiping idols. As the Spirit of the Lord took him outside the temple, he saw there those who were worshiping Tammuz and worshiping Baal, and there was those who were worshiping the sun, all on the Temple Mount, and this was going on. And God said, not gonna put up with it any longer. And the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 9 that glory of God, that Shekinah glory, that light, that it departed from off the mercy seat there in the Holy of Holies, and that it went to the door of the temple and it stood there. It stayed there. It stayed there at the door of the temple. And then Ezekiel chapter 10, it went from the door of the temple, it went from the door of the temple to the east gate of Jerusalem. And there it stayed. And then Ezekiel chapter 11, Ezekiel witnessed the glory of the Lord, this Shekinah glory, this light that went from the east gate out into the mountains of the east of Jerusalem, and it departed from Jerusalem. The light of the glory of God was gone, departed from the nation of Israel because of their sin, because of their idolatry, because of their wickedness. Imagine that glory of the Lord had been there and dwelt there between the cherubims since the day of the tabernacle, and now it has departed. The temple, Holy of Holies, had gone dark. No longer a light to light the Holy of Holies. But Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus' birth, prophesied that the light would return. And you can look this up and read it. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. Isaiah speaks about the light of the light of the Lord that would return, this light of the Lord that would return. It refers to the Messiah. In other words, he's prophesying about the Messiah's return, and the Messiah's return as a light returning. Isaiah chapter 9, look it up. It's so interesting. As you watch this unfold, As you watch this unfold, the light appearing in the day, first day of creation, the light appearing throughout the Old Testament over and over and over again, and then Ezekiel witnessing the light departing, and then Isaiah saying, hey, the light is going to return. And in Isaiah 9, he's speaking of the Messiah. He's speaking about the Messiah, the promised one who would come and remedy mankind's fallen condition, and refers to the Messiah as the light that would return. In fact, Isaiah 9 says, to shine. He said the light would return to shine upon the people in darkness. Well, we need that today, don't we? In John chapter 1, we see John the Baptist. And the group came to John the Baptist and said, are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? And John says there, the Baptist says there in John chapter 1, he said, I am not the light. Capital L-I-G-H-T. Not lowercase. Capital. He said, I am not the light, but I was sent to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He said, listen, I am not the light prophesied from Isaiah 9. I am not that light, the Messiah who would come. I am not him, but I am his forerunner. I'm the one preparing the way for the Lord. I'm the one preparing him. I'm making the path straight. I'm not the light. So understand that John the Baptist knew about the prophecy. Why else would he refer to the light? He knew about the prophecy. I am not the light. The wise man in Matthew chapter 2, who came to Herod and said, hey, we saw the star in the east. We saw a light. It refers to it as a light in the east. And we've come to worship the new king of Israel. A light? Oh, apparently the wise man knew about the prophecy as well. The star that appeared, the light. In fact, the Bible says there that when the wise man left Herod and began to go to Bethlehem, that the star led them and stood above the house where the child was. And as I've said, every Christmas, that's not a natural phenomena. A star doesn't just, you know, go over and stand over top of a house. No, it was the Shekinah glory. The light had returned. The light that had left the temple, that Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord, the light of the Messiah had returned, and here it was. And the Magi, the wise man, recognized it. And then we see Jesus Christ returns. The disciples, some of the disciples got a little glimpse of his glory. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 2 through 9, we have the Mount of Transfiguration. And as the disciples saw Jesus there, a little light of the glory of the Lord was expressed. And he says that his face, that the Lord's face shone brighter or bright. His face did shine as the sun. And then we find the glory again appearing to Saul on the road to Damascus, who became Paul. In Acts chapter 9, Saul says that the light he saw shined as light from heaven. In Acts chapter 26, verse 13, when Paul was giving his testimony, he said that the light from heaven was above the brightness of the sun. Paul witnessed this light. The light had returned. John saw the light, and he said his light was a countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. And then he saw the light again in Revelation 21, 23, when John said, and the city had no need for the sun, the moon, or the stars, for God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof, it says. There'll be no need for the stars, the sun, the moon, and heaven. Jesus Christ will be the light thereof. Jesus, here speaking to these religious crowds, says, I am the light of the world. I am that light that has returned. I am He. I am He. I am the light. So what practically is he speaking about here? What is the analogy? What kind of light is Christ? What did he mean? I would submit to you this morning, he's a glorious light. In other words, he has no equal. Has no equal. He shineth as no other can shine. By the way, he shines and all other lights disappear. He's a necessary light. The sun, S-U-N, is necessary for life on earth. If we had no sun, there would be no life on earth. It's necessary. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. John 8, verse 12, again, our text verse. Shall have what? The light of life. He gives life. He gives life. He is the light of life. This goes along with the message from last week, but the Lord Jesus Christ gives life. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. He gives spiritual life. Ephesians 2:1, as we quoted last week, says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. It is Christ who is life and gives life. He is the light of the world. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you experienced new life? And what a new life it is. I'm thankful he gave us spiritual life. Quickened us, made us alive. I'm thankful he gives us new life, as we said last week. And I'm thankful one day again, he's coming again, and we'll have that eternal life forever and ever. He's a revealing light. There in 2 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, he shined into our hearts. He shined into our hearts. The Bible says he lights everyone that comes into the world. Everyone's been given a little light. Every human being's been given a little light. Remember the old camp song, you know, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and then all those around, you know, the light. All have been given some light. Some light. What a wonderful truth that is. No one's without excuse. They have the light of creation. Step out the doors this morning and look at that wonderful creation that God made. That's God giving us light. God giving us light, giving us insight as to who he is. God gave us light through his word and through the Son of God, the light of life. Hope you're saved this morning. Hope you know Jesus as your Savior. He's a revealing light. By the way, he's a universal light. The sun, the S-U-N, is a universal light. It's a free light. Aren't you thankful the government hadn't figured out a way to tax you on the sun? They're going to. No, it's free. And I'm thankful that salvation is free. The light of Jesus Christ is free. Right? It's a gift of God. Not a works lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. A free gift to all. The sun shines on the rich and the poor. The sun shines, you know, on the outcasts and the social light. I mean, the sun shines on everyone. And I'm thankful God shines on everyone. He's no respecter of persons. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful we serve a God who is not a respecter of persons. He loves everyone. For God so loved the world. Amen? Amen. He's a universal light, a free light, a revealing light. John chapter 12. Since you're already in John, just turn over a couple of pages. I'm almost done. John chapter 12. Look at verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Talking about himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, what? Believe in the light, that ye may be what? The children of light. The children of light. Listen this morning. We have a Savior who is the light of the world. And we have been given a commission to be a light. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Most of you know the verses. Matthew chapter 5. We have the Beatitudes, the sermon there on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets, for I am not come to destroy the law, but fulfill. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then he said, "Ye are the light of the world." And as Jesus came to give life, we should share life with others. We should share the good news of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the life that can be experienced and how one can pass from death into life. We should give them the gospel. The world today needs Jesus Christ. They need to experience the light, the universal light, this glorious light. By the way, the light, the sun absolutely comforts. I don't know about you, but when it's cold, it's nice to have the sun come out and warm you up. I'm thankful for a God who is the light of the world, who's there to lead us and direct us and guide us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's there as a comforter. And we can share that good news with others, that light with others. Share the light. We do this by being a testimony, by living out the Christian life. We do this by living a Christ-like life, by following in Jesus' steps. He says there that, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works," and do what? Then glorify God in heaven. We ought to be a testimony. We ought to be a testimony. We ought to be a light. Philippians chapter 2, and this sure fits our world today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Hold forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He says, Paul says to the church of Philippi, listen, he said, you should shine as lights in this world. You should shine as lights in this crooked and perverse world, holding forth the word of life. The word of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We can share life with others by giving them the gospel, whether it's your next door neighbor, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker, and whether it's the man and the woman who is in, Uganda, or the man and the woman who is in Nauru, or the man and the woman who's in Vanuatu, or whatever, wherever our missionaries are at, you can have a part in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, sharing the light with others, both in your neighborhood, at your workplace. You can share the good news around the world through your giving and through your praying. May we share the light with others. It's commanded by us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to be sharing the light with others. Are you involved in reaching others? I told you after the missions conference last year, and I've made this commitment before and haven't really stuck with it, but to share and give tracts out to people. And been really trying this very hard over the last 6 months. And I tell you what, I used to do it. I used to be very faithful in giving tracts out. And so I've been doing that, and I keep them even in my back pocket when I don't like it, because I know they get folded up a little bit. But I figure a folded, maybe a little bent tract won't hurt either. It's the gospel. And so leaving them when I go to a restaurant, or leaving one and talking to somebody at the gas pump and saying, "Hey, just want to say, hey," I'm usually strike up a conversation. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be like me. I can strike up a conversation with a post. I'm a preacher. But you don't have to do that. You can just say, "Hey, just like to give you something," and hand somebody a tract at the gas pump or whatever it may be. Be faithful in giving them out. I challenge you. I've challenged my own self not to be caught without a track in my pocket. Whether I'm here at church, whether I'm working out. We were fishing yesterday. I had a track in my pocket. It got bent up. It got a little tattered, and I sweat a little bit, and even got a little sweat ring on it. I don't know, but I gave it to somebody. Share the light. We have a world in darkness, a world that's dying and going to hell, and they need Jesus. And I pray the Lord would give us a greater burden. I pray the Lord would give me a greater burden for the lost. We need to share that light. May we be the light, and may we share the light. My brother used to say a lot, he used to say, we need to go poke holes in the darkness. You can be that. You can do that as you share the light. Let's all stand. I've gone a little long, and so as the Lord leads you, we can have it.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.